Andrew Fagan joins us live in the studio. Fags, welcome.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Gee, a lot of papers between you two, Fix and Fakes.
Well, we're going to try to get across all the information. What are the highlights for you from the fixture today, Andrew?
Look, there's plenty. Obviously, it's a fantastic result for our footy club, for our fans. As I said today, I think it's just reward. They turn out in massive numbers at Adelaide Oval, leading attendances in the country. They tune in massive numbers, so the broadcasters are happy, and most importantly, for the broadcasters and for the AFL, the Crows team themselves are playing entertaining, attacking footy. And the AFL, to their credit, I know we can often be critical of them, but they said you'll be rewarded if you deliver attacking footy or entertaining footy, if you fill your stadium, and if the broadcast numbers hold up. And we've delivered on that, and we put that to them in our fixture request and said, well, we think...
Show me the money.
We've delivered on it, show it back. And look, they've done that to their credit. And obviously with the four Friday nights, the Thursday night, they're obviously massive highlights. We put in for an Indigenous round fixture as well, as we've invested a lot of time and effort into that. They've continued to grant us that. That'll be a great Saturday night versus Frio. So... look, there's plenty to like about it, mate.
Any challenges? I looked at the 7 6-day breaks. That probably doesn't concern you as much as it concerns Don Pike.
Oh, mate, everything concerns me. So, look, that's the same, I think, as 2016. So it's consistent with last year. It's not an issue for us. We've got a great high-performance department. They'll do all that they need to do to prepare the guys. And I think you've also got to look at the six-day breaks with what sits behind them. So I think on three of them, the other team's on a six-day break as well, so you've got parity there. And I think when you look through actually the whole fixture, you often don't look at how many teams are on six-day breaks versus you. I think there's or on a day short break versus you. I think we've got far more teams or several more teams who have got a shorter preparation versus us than the other way around. So I think overall it's a decent football fixture. It's foolish to predict whether it's hard or soft in terms of opposition, but I think in terms of travel and balance, it's pretty fair. Certainly fantastic for fans, great commercially. So overall, it's a great result for the footy club.
Melbourne and Darwin's good with your natural links there now?
Yeah, well, that's great. Obviously, the Central Corridor is important to us, particularly since we launched our women's team. We've got a partnership with AFL Northern Territory. It's great to have...
Was that tied in deliberately, or is that just the way it's turned out?
No, look, it was a request. Given we've got a presence there, an increasing presence there, our women's team will be playing a game up there, at least one game in the Northern Territory. We'll be running some other camps and activities up there. So we didn't know whether it would work out, but we said if we could make it work, then it would be a great thing to do. And look, it has. And
brilliant.
We'll make sure that even though we're the visiting team, we'll have plenty going on in and around that game. And I'm sure, based on the feedback I've received to date, there'll be plenty of Crows fans jumping on trains and planes to make that a bit of a trip.
Yeah, the Barramundi aren't running at that time of the year, unfortunately. They're better in March. Three games at the MCG as well. I think that's a positive.
Yeah, important for the footy team. So yes. We want to be there at the end of the season, and important that we play some footy there. I think we had three games in 2016 as well, up from, I think, one the year prior. So, look, it's important. It's another tick for us. So, as I said, overall, there's not much to dislike. It's hard with a fixture. You can never make it perfect. We've got a large supporter base. You can never make everything cater for everyone. But I think on a whole, it's a great result.
They've given you the showdown. This is round 20, Twilight Sunday again, because you know they'll turn up.
Yeah, that look, it's fine.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. When we've got eight night games across the fixture, five of which are on a Thursday or a Friday night.
Yeah.
I'm happy to have the showdown. Yeah. Look, and I think we treat the showdown a little bit as a collective as well. So that we've got one on, I think Ports is on a Saturday night. We've got one on a Saturday night. We've got one on a Sunday afternoon. I think that's fine. We know that over the course of several years, it's going to bounce around a little bit. I think what we have done with the AFL last year was say, look, don't just hold us there. Don't make that a part of the fixture, that it only is played on the Sunday. They agreed with that, so we obviously had that moved around last year, and so we got some flexibility going forward as well.
Just on the night games, 8 of 11 of your home games are at night. Is that by design, or is that just the way that it's turned out?
Yeah, well, again, you understand how the fixture process works. You put in some requests, but And you, you know, you fight hard for them and you want to be rewarded in certain ways, but then there's a little bit of luck as well. So there's 18 teams putting in requests. Mm. The AFL has its own objectives around broadcast and obviously wanting to keep numbers up. That drives then the value that then drives sort of the health of the league as a whole. And they will look to meet their objectives at the same time. So I think obviously what they've seen with the Crows is that we can hold our own, in fact, exceed the majority in terms of broadcast. So they're going to put us in those slots at the moment. It's up to us now to deliver against that to ensure that we can continue to do that. I think from an entertainment perspective as well, Bix, is that the night games do mean you can do a little bit more, given just the nature of lights and the like. So the atmosphere is a little bit different, but I never want to be without some afternoon games and twilight games to provide that balance.
And mine, excuse me, was purely selfish. Having two little boys who are 4 and 7, too many night games, it limits the amount of times they're able to go. You're mindful of that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Which you said, it's a little bit of not being able to make it perfect for everyone. And again, it's hard to judge things just on the year. You've got to, I think, look at it over the course of years, because sometimes you are just going to, and I won't say this is anything but a good thing, those marquee slots, they're coveted within the AFL. So they're absolutely coveted. And I think now in my 2 years or so here, the number of times I've heard people say, look, what are we going to do to get more Friday nights? So they're coveted. But, by definition, it means that you're going to take one away from an afternoon slot. So you just want to get that balance right. And over a 3 or 4 year period, you'd hope that you'll get the balance across it, but every now and again, you're going to have a few more night games than otherwise.
And from Don's perspective, the coaching group, they don't say a lot. A fixture's a fixture. You work with it. Last year, everybody said it's the hardest fixture ever, and after 8 games, they were 6 wins. But GWS at home, round 1, Hawthorn away at the G, round 2, Port at home, they're always hard, that one. Then Eston, 3 of your first 4 are at home. And I think it's good to get away to a good start at the start of the year. Like, what do they say? 4 points in the bank are diamonds towards the end of the year. So it's a good start for the club.
I haven't heard that particular saying.
No, well, I just made that up.
I was going to say, it's not one of the well-known ones. A bird in the hand is worth 2 in the bush.
No. I'm sure something.
there were probably 3 sayings in there. Early wins are gold. Look, they clearly
are. Thanks for shooting me down.
You want to get off to a good start. And look, we play some tough opposition there as well. So I think it'll be a good measure of how we're travelling early. And you want to get out of the gates quick. And it's good that you've got a preparation that can seamlessly sort of lead you into a game at home rather than having to travel first up. But obviously the Giants are a team on the rise. Mm. They'll be great competition. But look, I think what we've seen is there's 18 very competitive teams.
If you don't
show up, you get beaten. And it's foolish and presumptuous. And I think probably a little ignorant if we sit here at any point months in advance, let alone days in advance, if you're trying to predict sort of how many wins we're going to get in our first sort of 4, 8, 12, 22 weeks. So
crystal balling, wouldn't it be?
You would be very much crystal balling. So, look, all we can look at is the shape and the balance. There's no clangers here at all. It's a double thumbs up, and it's one that we welcome.
2017 membership. It's on sale now, 19thman.com.au. Now, that's going to be easy to sell, Fags. The old membership team, they'll have their feet up on the desk.
So you know that I'll never say that. So they might be tuning in.
What's
mate.
The
they
target?
They will be tuning in. They'll have 5 AAs always running in the office there. So look.
So we can get membership as of today.
You can certainly get membership as of today. So it's just jump onto 19thman.com.au as we said, or just contact the club. Follow us on social media. There'll be plenty of prompts to encourage you to join up. Our supporter base is extraordinary.
It is.
And they're passionate. They're loyal. I think already we're close to 30,000 members that have renewed already. And as we sit here at the, still in October, that's well ahead of where we've been in the past. So
good natural organic growth, Fags.
Yeah, correct, mate. So it's called continuous improvement,
of course,
mate.
Continuous improvement.
But you can say it in 5 different ways, but ultimately it means trying to get better every year.
Or just being cheeky.
I know. You got me back on the 3 sayings thing. So the... But that's kind of what you want. So look, they're great. I think that they'll embrace this fixture. I think there's plenty to like about it. I know there's some great clashes that we're going to have at Adelaide Oval in great time slots. And look, I expect that our membership will again be strong. And,
brilliant.
And look, I'd like to think that we'll continue to grow that number from, I think we reached close to 68,000, you know, at the end of this year. So hopefully we'll go past that next year.
The general manager of footy, any news on that? It's been a little while since David Noble exited the footy club.
Yeah, look, we're getting closer there. So as I think I might have said, you know, publicly the other day, it's not about rushing to find someone. Mm-hmm. It's about making sure you go through a thorough process. And obviously, given the way the footy industry has been working as well, there's a lot of people involved in, you know, in trade and in everything else at the moment. So, you know, clubs have had their people with their sort of heads down and bums up. So we want to make sure we have a really thorough process, very deliberately appoint someone. It's also been good to take some time to reflect on, you know, just where we sit within the football department, what sort of skills you want. I'm not a believer in just swapping one person for one person. You want to take some time to reflect and say, how can we actually get better? And, you know, we'll make an appointment that enables us to do that.
Fakes, I was critical that you didn't make David Noble stay and see through the trade period, because I thought from an experience point of view, you needed that, and I thought it showed out. Good chance for you to whack me here. Was there an opportunity for you to keep David?
I think it's a complication, mate, actually. So it's hard when you have agreed to move to another football club to then be running the trade or list management of an opposition football club. I think that actually compromises David, it compromises Brisbane, it compromises Adelaide. So, and to be fair, mate, it's also trade, although some things can change pretty quickly, it's a transactional piece of work. The work's been done in the 12 months prior.
Yep.
To be fair, David Noble's fingerprints were all over our trade strategy, because he and our list management group had driven it for right throughout 2016. So he knew exactly what we were doing, which I think, as you know, we've said, was really to go to the draft if we couldn't find an elite midfielder who wished to come to South Australia. And so the plan was to go to the draft. Obviously, that changed a little bit with Bryce expressing some interest on the eve of trade.
Mm-hmm.
And we aggressively pursued that. David actually told me himself, he said, mate, because you can't have offered any more. Like, there's general endorsement, I think, across the industry that we're aggressive in what we had. Endorsement from Bryce's management himself saying that we offered something that was more than fair. But we completely respect Carlton's position, because he's a contracted player. They didn't have to trade.
Yeah. And any learnings from that for the group, the footy department? Any learnings through that whole period? He had a bloke that said he wanted to come home. You didn't land him.
Well,
what were the learnings?
Well, I think it's tough, mate. So you can't try and compare this to a normal trade, because he's on contract, and he's on contract not with a club wishing to push him out. So it's very different to the vast majority of trades.
Well, 22 players with contracts moved last year, but 13 this year,
which is where both clubs are happy to make a deal happen. Yeah. I think if you can give me a player that at 28 moved clubs with two first round draft picks, then I'd like to know who that player was.
So now, no learnings from this?
Well, the learning, no, not really, mate, to tell you the truth. So the learning, the process was, we had a player who was on contract who wished to move clubs.
Yep.
We had one club that wasn't willing to part ways, didn't wish to part ways with him, and to be fair, didn't even really wish to enter into a trade discussion at all. Yep. At that point, it's actually, you know, you're actually pushing a little bit uphill. So we went in aggressively. We tried to various ways to position an offer that we thought might be appealing. We tried to work out what might be of interest to the Carlton Football Club that might have them reconsider their position. To be fair, they were pretty consistent throughout, and they weren't really willing to reconsider a position unless we probably, you know, put something so extraordinary on the table where they said, okay, I just can't say no to that. And we weren't willing to do that. We thought that would be careless and irresponsible.
Yep.
So we went as far as we could go. And if you ask me whether we would change our offer or be more aggressive if we had our time again, the answer would be no.
Okay. Well, the only reason I say it, because your chairman of your list management said we didn't get it right, but we didn't get it wrong.
Yeah, well, I think you got
to... So what part of that needs to be...
I think you got to understand what he meant by that. We didn't get it right because we didn't land the player.
Yeah, I'm just giving you an opportunity to explain
that's,
it.
Yeah,
because,
that's it.
Because so, I sat back and thought, well, shit, what part of that did you get wrong?
No, so,
I've asked you, were there any learnings? You're saying there's no learnings.
So the thing, we didn't get right because he's not here. So we would only get it right if he was here. So
for the right price.
For the right price.
Correct.
Now, so the what he meant by we didn't get it wrong was we wouldn't have offered any more. Like, we offered what we offered, and it wasn't accepted. So, you know, we've reflected on that and reviewed and said, well, is there any other package that we would have thrown on the table if we had have known now with the benefit of hindsight that he wasn't going to move for anything, you know, given their position? Yeah. And the answer was no. We weren't willing to provide anything different to what we did, which was a number of things. And but ultimately, mate, we didn't get it right because he's not here. Mm. And
see, now that clarifies it.
We couldn't find a way to change their mind.
Done.
Your strategy of going to the draft is one pick inside 40 enough?
So it's what we've got. Mm. So
in terms of being able to improve, we've got one at
43. Yeah. That might come in a little bit as well, but it is what it is. I think it's also reflecting on what is that second round pick. So we gave up a future second round pick, which is Curtly Hampton, right? So effectively, our second round pick in this year's draft is a guy that we got in advance 12 months ago and we put 12 months into. So that's who is our second round pick in this year's draft, and he's a guy that we've had on our books for 12 months. We hope that this is viewed as a pretty strong draft, as is I think next year's and the year after. So we're hopeful that our pick at 13 will be an elite player. We're really confident that will be the case. And look, we think that even down at 43, there's some talent there. So
You've got a top four team. You're sitting here with a top four team.
Well, you can only be judged on your results, I guess. And we know that we performed reasonably well over the last couple of years. We've been consistent. And that's when, there's been some really interesting discussion around premiership windows and what people interpret a premiership window to be. And I don't view it as, and I know Pikey's of the same view, it's not like a sliding door that actually opens for 5 seconds and it closes again, or opens for 5 years and it closes again. The key is to open it and then to continue to make decisions to keep it open, knowing that flags are hard to win. But if you're there and thereabouts, you can take an opportunity, hopefully, when it presents itself. Either that's when you're in a run of form, when you happen to be able to recruit that final sort of piece or several pieces, when a group matures to the right level. But you've got to be regularly knocking on a window. Mm-hmm. History has shown every now and again someone will come out of the blue or from seven deep to make it happen. Yeah. But history shows you want to sort of be around there consistently, and that's what we've seen with Geelong, and we've seen it with Sydney, and we've seen it with Hawthorne. So that's what we think we can do, and hopefully this year's draft pick is similar to a Wayne Miller or similar to a Jake Lever over the last 2 years. Mm. Guys that we think will be long-time, elite players with our footy club.
Just talk about Jared Lyons. A lot of people were disappointed to see him leave. What was the club's view of Jared in terms of being able to exit the club?
Yeah, well, he went with our best wishes. He's a quality human. He's a really good guy, and he's in one of those interesting positions given probably where he sits, in our list. And the fact is, he's a guy that, and I know this is all up to interpretation, but the question is, how much football would he have played in 2017? He played a bit in 2016, but over his, half a dozen seasons with us, he hasn't played
20 games last year.
Yeah, correct. But over his seasons with us, he hasn't played a lot. And I think the view was that it's probably a question mark as to how much football he would play in 2017. Gold Coast put an offer to him that was significant. Obviously, one that represented, that on dollar terms looked as though he'll play, guaranteed to play some footy. What you can't do in running your list is have people being paid an enormous amount of money guaranteed to play sample. That doesn't work and so those decisions become pretty hard. And I think that what we got for him in return is widely viewed as a pretty acceptable pick for him. So
I thought it was unders. But I'm a Jared Lyons fan.
Well, the tough thing is, you can only take what the club has. You can work out some other ways around it sometimes in getting some stuff back. But I think 26 would have been viewed as by the marketplace as being overs. 43 maybe a little bit under. We moved him from 71 to 67 as well, so we got a little bit of benefit there. I think the general marketplace, probably viewed Jared as somewhere between you know, sort of 35 and 45, and you've got to sort of work out where they have a pick.
So on the back of those comments, excuse me, the expectation is blokes like Miller, Riley, Knight, Hampton, those guys are going to be spending a bit more time in the midfield.
Well, the expectation is that we want to create competition where everyone is expected to improve, and we've spoken about that right through the course of this year, that we want to create an environment of continuous improvement and demand that from guys. So, you want Harrison Wigan, Camillus Yeoman, and the names that you mentioned, Riley Knight, Wayne Miller, Charlie Cameron might spend some time there, as well. Plus, young boys like the Crouch guys, we want them all to get better and improve. And I think we saw Rory Sloane possibly have his best season yet. Now, I think he hasn't finished improving either. So, man, that's what you want. You want competition for spots, and we expect that. And we expect that those young guys in particular who really demonstrated tremendous growth through Sample primarily in 2016 will continue to improve this year, and we'll hopefully see what they've got.
I heard a little whisper. Stephen Saunders, who's the high performance manager at the Kangaroos, is maybe contemplating coming back to Adelaide. Is he someone that you might be able to find a spot for? Adelaide, the city, I'm saying, and is he someone you'd look at adding to your list?
Well, mate, at the moment, we've got a full staff assembled, and ones that we're really comfortable with, and I think particularly in our high performance area, those guys, were exceptional this year, and Brett Burton's done a tremendous job. In fact, Dr. Andrew Potter, who very well, been 20 years with the club, said to me the other day that he said in his 20 years with the club, our high performance department has never run as well as it did in 2016, which is a fair endorsement from someone with tremendous experience.
The numbers reflect that as well, didn't they, in terms of injuries, games missed?
Well, it was certainly the lowest injury count we've had in a long, long time. And look, it's you take a little bit of luck with that as well. But in terms of how it's run, it's been fantastic. And not just Bird, but all of the guys that work with him. So it's a pretty.
I wasn't suggesting he was going to replace anyone. I was suggesting maybe he might be added to the team.
I'd love to have a footy cap that was getting bigger, but unfortunately, he said the AFL under the new rules, that footy cap's not going to increase in 2017. So you've actually got a way to part of the competition off field now is to work out how you can most efficiently spend every dollar, because it's not going to go up by 3 or 4 or 5%. It's going to remain flat, which means we've got to get pretty creative with getting your best bang for your buck. So I think you'll see departments, if anything, begin to trim rather than grow.
Andrew, thanks for coming in. Well done. A great commercial fixture. Reward for the footy fan, the Crows footy fan. Thanks for your time.
No, good on you guys. Thanks for your support.
2017 membership is on sale now. 19thman.com.au.